so much of what we do with our clients is, if you will, non-financially related, because retirement is so much more than just the money. And let me share with you, you know, with regards to, you know, when the pandemic hit, we had nowhere to go and nobody to see. And for many, it was a vision into what the future would look like, or, if you will, retirement. They didn't have an office to go to. They're home with their spouse. They're sitting there 24/7 together with no place to go, not sure that we all signed up for that. And all of a sudden, it gave a lot of people perspective on what the future and retirement is going to look like.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy, with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today my guest is a retirement planning expert, Mark Singer, and he's the president of Safe Harbor Retirement Planning. And Mark has been well known because he's a former radio talk show host. He's an author and is now become a financial educator in the media as their go-to person. He has his most recent book is Don't Outlive Your Money in Retirement, Seven Key Steps. It unveils the step-by-step process used to help maximize the retirement journey. Mark has been featured in the Wall Street Journal, abcnews.com, foxnnews.com, and Bloomberg Radio, as well as locally around Boston and on other shows. He is a multi-year recipient of the Boston Magazine's Five-Star Wealth Manager Award. Very impressive. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hi, Annie. How you doing?
I'm great, thank you. It's great to catch up with you in your busy life. How's COVID treating you over there in Boston?
You know, it feels like we're on the back end of it, if you will. You know, I've been very cautious. My family's been cautious. We've been very thankful that we're okay. We have some friends who, you know, have had it at different levels and different extremities. But overall, you know, we're moving on and life goes on.
That's right. Life does go on. And retirement gets closer and closer for a lot of us, and it sneaks up on us sometimes. I'm intrigued to read about you and your bio notes that you ask the questions other advisors simply don't ask. Can you tell us a bit more?
Yeah, and I can actually tie it into your previous question about COVID, because so much of what we do with our clients is, if you will, non-financially related, because retirement is so much more than just the money. And let me share with you, you know, with regards to, you know, when the pandemic hit, we had nowhere to go and nobody to see. And for many, it was a vision into what the future would look like, or, if you will, retirement. They didn't have an office to go to. They're home with their spouse. They're sitting there 24/7 together with no place to go, not sure that we all signed up for that. And all of a sudden, it gave a lot of people perspective on what the future and retirement is going to look like. Because again, our industry focuses a lot on the money side of things. You know, will you outlive your money? That's the number one financial question that people, you know, are concerned about. But to be honest with you, for most of my clients, the bigger question is, what will I do the rest of my life? And as I say, with this pandemic, when it hit in March and April, it was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? So, you know, that's what caused me and sort of prompted me to write the book, you know, the fourth book, you know, Don't Outlive Your Money in Retirement, because it really is about getting a hold of and a balance of what your life will be if you're not already in retirement.
Thank you. Some people know what they're going to do because they've been doing other stuff along the way, but there's a lot of people that have been busy working and haven't paid attention to anything else. So what is the number one fear financially do retirees have?
Well, as I mentioned, financially, it's about, will I outlive my money? And that sort of ties into another question, which is, am I taking the right amount of risk with my portfolio, with my money? So, Andy, let me ask you a question. Is it better or worse to take more or less risk with your money? Are you better off taking more than you should, or are you better off taking less than you should? And the answer really is, you should be taking not more than or less than. I've seen both sides. I've seen people who have come in and said, I'm very conservative, yet they had 90% of their 401ks in stocks or in the company stock. You know, so their money was out of alignment with what they thought their goals were. And I've also seen people who are very skittish as they approach retirement and want to put, you know, sort of all the money on the sidelines and not lose any of it. But the reality is neither approach is probably, you know, the welcomed approach for retirement, because as you go into retirement, and you mentioned people have been working all these years, there's two different stages to financial planning. The first stage is the accumulation stage. That's where we're working, putting as much money away as possible so that when we do hit that, whatever that determined age is for retirement, we have a nest egg that will generate some sort of income that we'll need in retirement. But when you go to, you enter into the distribution phase, and that's where things get different. In the accumulation phase, it's okay to take more risk than you should because you have time on your side and you can overcome some of those mistakes that we all make with our investments. And it's okay not to have exactly the right amount of risk, because we're really looking to accumulate as much money as possible. But when we do transition into retirement and we go into that distribution phase, the key now really is more about how much cash flow do you need, and then make sure you take no more risk with the portfolio than what you need in terms of income. So in other words, the real question should be, and the number one question for those who go into retirement and think about their money management, is how can I take the least amount of risk possible to generate the income that I'll need in retirement? Because when you go into retirement, it's all about cash flow, Annie. You know this. You know, if you don't have cash, even if you're worth millions and millions of dollars, but you have no cash flow, it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. So the fear is as much, am I going to outlive my money? But along with that question comes, you know, how do I manage the money I've been managing all along so that I get the income that I need and I don't outlive it?
You've mentioned risk quite a few times just then. Is risk different for different people, or is it more to do with their stages of life? What do you class as risk? Is it risky if you've got all your eggs in one basket, or is there another sort of risk that you're talking about?
No, that's a great question. And it is at multiple levels. So if I'm talking to a 20 or 30 or 40 year old, we can take on more quote unquote risk in the portfolio. We can have more in equities or in stocks than, you know, we could have 60, 70, 80% in stocks or equities. Because if we know the markets over time, you know, are fairly predictable the longer time that we have, but in the shorter period of time, it can be very volatile. So when you're younger, have no problem counseling people to take on more risk than they might think of. It, you know, if there was somebody and they had, you know, I wouldn't put all your eggs in one basket. I think that's foolish. But if you were to put into a portfolio and have, you know, a significant amount in equities, that's okay. But as you approach retirement, the whole definition of risk becomes very different. And the risk now, again, going to back to the question about what's the number one fear, is outliving your money. And if you've taken on more risk than you should, and the market plummets just about when you're retiring, think about this, Annie. Back in 2007, 2008, when the market dropped 47% from top to bottom, the people who had retired in 2005, 6, and 7, they were at significant risk if they hadn't recalibrated their portfolios to take down some of the risk. Because as you go into retirement, if the market goes down and you're taking income from it, it's really a double whammy. We don't face that kind of formula as we're accumulating money because we don't have to take income from it. So the whole definition of risk is, and this is where we come up with, you know, I ask questions that other people don't. You know, we have to figure out based on your lifestyle, what your income needs are, based on all the planning, what is it that you feel you need? What keeps you up at night? What's your sleep at night factor? How much in emergency reserves do you need? And let's back into how much risk the portfolio needs to take in order to generate the income that you're going to need.
Mm. And I think that's one of the key words as well, generate the income that you need. And these days, like you said back in 2017-18, things change. And since then, there's been a big decline in the bond market return and just fixed income return that banks offered. So how do you counteract this low interest environment? That's a risk in itself, isn't it?
There's no doubt about it. You know, and you know, that gets back to folks who really do put their money under the mattress. You know, they go to retire and then they retire their money, right? You know, all of a sudden they go from 60% in equities down to, you know, oh, I can't afford to lose any money. But we have to deal with inflation and we have to get income out and we have to pay taxes. So you have to take on some modicum of risk to overcome what they call, you know, purchasing power risk. You know, a dollar isn't going to be worth the same amount in 5 years. So as we think about constructing portfolios right now, it's very interesting. You know, it does appear that, you know, the equity markets are very strong, but the fixed income and the, if you're looking for interest rates on CDs or bonds are very, very low, some non-existent, some negative, believe it or not. And if you take a look at the impact of inflation on top of the fact that you're not getting anything on your money, you could actually be losing real money on a day-to-day basis. So it's a real conundrum, and we really have to work with our clients to figure out exactly what the need is, because we recognize you're not going to get very much from your fixed income right now. And, you know, with the feds, you know, here in the States talking about basically keeping interest rates low, low and looking at inflation at no more than 2%, it could be, you know, and on the other side, with the equity market, there are many, you know, Fortune 100 companies that are, believe it or not, paying more interest than your bonds are right now. So you really have to be very cautious about how you're investing. You know, don't get too worried about the fixed income, but don't get seduced by the stock market. You really still have to maintain a very balanced approach. And again, that all begs the question of planning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know some people back in 2007-08, they decided to keep working. They couldn't afford to retire because their retirement savings had gone down so much. And I think back that was when people started working beyond the age of 65. And here I've heard of 70-year-olds thinking of retirement. So it definitely did make a difference to a lot of people back then. Talk about your book now. It's Don't Outlive Your Money in Retirement. You list 7 key steps to take. Can you share that with us now?
I sure can. We sort of call it the yellow brick road of retirement, all right? You know, the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, we had to avoid those when we were watching Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. You know, we sort of take a look at the same thing when it comes to the journey through retirement. We want to make sure that you don't pay too much in taxes. We want to make sure that you don't take more risk on your portfolio than you should. We want to make sure that your spouse is taken care of in the event that you are no longer here. We want to make sure here in the States, you know, that you're taking the right amount of Social Security. There's 567 different claiming strategies for Social Security. Do you know which one is right for you? Few people do. And if you don't maximize that, you could leave a couple hundred thousand dollars on the table over the course of your lifetime for your household. So all of these items are part of the seven-step process that we deal with our clients. But it all starts and it all deals with planning. And my whole focus is, let's take the mystery out of the decision-making process. And what I mean by that is, gee, can I go on a trip? Can I spend, when we can go on a trip again, right? You know, when we're allowed to go on vacations again, right? Go on an airplane, and hopefully maybe even go on a cruise one day again. But if the trip is going to cost me $15,000, $20,000, the question I get from my clients is, if I spend the money today, how will it impact me tomorrow? And the planning, navigating through the yellow brick road, if you will, gives you the answers as to whether or not you're in a position to go about and pursue the goals that you wish in retirement. And if you start with the planning will tell you how much cash flow you need based on your own assumptions, how much risk you should take, which Social Security to take, how to take care of the spouse, how to take care of the kids, the legacy planning, how to reduce your taxes and all. That encompasses the seven steps.
Well, thanks very much for sharing your expertise with us today. Mark Singer, where would people find you if they wanted to go looking for you and your book?
Annie, thanks for the opportunity. And I think that, you know, I've spoken throughout the country numbers of times on financial wellness and retirement. I always feel it's better to give somebody some action to do rather than just information. So I want to share this with your listeners. They can go to www.retirenowquiz.com. That's retirenowquiz.com. And from the book, what we did was we generated a 15-question quiz. And based on how you answer those questions, we will show you how prepared and which stage of retirement you're in. And the other thing that I've also learned is we want to always add value. So if you do finish the quiz, our promise to you is that we will deliver to you a free chapter of the book and two worksheets to help you to gain more clarity with regards to your own retirement. So if you wish, go to www.retirenowquiz.com.
Thank you. And your book is out and is available
on Amazon.
Amazon?
Yep. Yep. Both Kindle version, we've learned how to do that, and also hard copy. I'm more a hard copy guy, but we've also made it available on Kindle.
Well, in Australia, it'll probably be Kindle because I think for some reason they're punishing us and charging a heap of freight to get it over here.
Oh, my.
Right. Well, thank you for being on the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. This is your host, Annie Nelson, and we have had the pleasure of listening to Mark Singer from Safe Harbor Retirement Planning. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.